Penguin Random House Audio presents How to Live Free in a Dangerous World, a decolonial memoir. This is the author, Shayla Lawson. For Phoebe. Revisiting this text almost 50 years after I wrote it, I might call it something like Memoirs of a Life Dedicated to the Quest for Freedom. Angela Davis, an autobiography. Our story starts in an airplane with the sound of long acrylic nails tapping on laptop keys, the sound of Black femme poetics. On Firsts, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Let's begin at the beginning. The weather is winter. The time, 1981. The only place in the world to be, Minneapolis. First Avenue and 7th. A music venue. First row. The artist is local. Years from now, everybody who wants to be anybody will lie and say they had tickets. But you do. 3. Half smiling on the dashboard of a Chrysler station wagon. 100 miles south, in a blizzard, back tires sunk in 8 feet of snow. Most of what follows is meant to be true, and what's not, probably even more so. Outside the car, the muffled buzz of Soft and Wet rocks the wood-paneled LeBaron, the bass replaced by the car engine, exhaust coughing holes through chunks of ice. Two men huff and slip in matching pairs of wingtips while their shovels scratch out a hard timpani on the gravel. Polished, ruined. Inside, the car is dark and hot, the windows blind with fog. The woman in the back seat opens her coat as pearls of sweat unzip down her chest. She scoots to the console, turns the defroster on high, and switches the cassette in the tape deck. Dirty mind. The windows start to clear. She wipes a spot clean on the windshield with the back of her dress sleeve, gold lamé, and its streaks make the street lamp under snowflakes look like a strobe light. The vents scream loud and crowded over the song on cassette, and she lies back on the crushed velvet interior, tapping her pregnant belly. Everyone will say that they made it, but you were actually there. My parents. I'm there too. Barely alive. Just a thrum under the heartbeat of the woman who knows all the words to When You Were Mine in the front row. Prince was first, and I was second. This became my origin story. Of the two men we came with, it took me a while to know who was actually first. My father. The three of them so thick as thieves, by the time I was born, it was more conceivable that I was the child of all three of them than one or the other. This was their gift to me, a black and brilliant world, a world full of music that knows the cold, a promiscuity that understands destruction. A few years later, one of the men left us all behind to become an astronaut. The first black man to walk in space. And so began my family. In the beginning was darkness, and Prince was music. Everything I remember about the womb carries the sound of arpeggiators. When I came out, it took me longer than most to understand I do things differently. I wasn't built for anything but. I wanted to be Prince-like, and so I was. A star floating above the stage like a blade of tinsel. An actual star, fiery and patient, hurtling through the sky. By the time When Doves Cry became a hit single, I was 2 years old, and the story had been threaded through so much of my youth that I remembered it like it was my own memory. And hopped around on unsteady legs singing, Maybe I'm Just Like, in a ruffled dress, like I understood those words. To be earthly is still alien to me, that I should be so terribly lucky. At the close of a second encore, there I was, hugged by my mother, between my fathers, God and otherwise. I listened to the crowd's rumbling applause of, "We love you, we love you." Unaware they adored anyone but me. If I had to choose, I couldn't have picked a happier beginning. My opening act taught me something. The road ahead is dangerous. You never know what's in front of you. But that shouldn't stop you from keeping the beat funky and showing up well-dressed. And just when you think you can take no more, life brings you, at least, one beautiful encore. What's come first is foreshadowing. How we begin is a metaphor. I remember the first time I told a story. I still had baby teeth. But the memory plays like a song on muffled wood-paneled speakers. I can't make out the words, but I still pick up the melody. Their laughter rippling on my heart like a drop of water. We love you. We love you. When there are so many wonders in the world, how do you recover? I try not to. Not every new thing's a beginning. I don't remember a single first day of school, but I remember nearly all of third grade, where I learned to play chess and memorized an old Abbott and Costello routine. Who's on first? What's on second? And I don't give a damn past third. Some firsts are so deeply imprinted, they're eternal. The skit's wisdom is as alive to me now as it was back then. First isn't about who. It's what came next. Where we're headed after is anybody's guess. But since we're counting what got us here, we might as well begin at the beginning. My first isn't the only start for which Prince is responsible. I think about Lizzo, first of her name, whose music Prince co-signed soon after the rising star arrived in Minneapolis. Her first big break, his song Boy Trouble. The feature validated her, made her, moved her. That's why firsts thrill me so much. It's where we lock legacies with each other. Being first isn't just about who you are. It's about what we become together. First, who we become to one another. Second, all that's left is the choice to love. I don't give a damn who you are. We are the people. Electric, glittering, and about to burn out. We need each other. That's the first survival rule of traveling. And we have a long way to go before we stop surviving and actually recover from surviving. But we can do that. We feed each other. Nowadays, I'm never homesick for the journeys I've taken. I'm hungry for the stories I know that bring everyone along. This firms us up for the long journey. There's no finish line, just living. In concert, all of us rubbing bodies, whether we want to dance or not. We move, so we might as well be bumping the same decolonized mixtape. First thing to know, Minneapolis is a city that knows what good music sounds like. When traveling, you need those. Minneapolis is Minnesota's only city. Calling St. Paul a twin is giving the town the same compliment you'd give a pretty girl with a smoke show mom, just to be polite. Because it doesn't matter who's first, but it does pay to be original. It's hard to be original. To be the first to believe in the beat in your mind and ask, "Will anyone else love my music?" It's imagining and seeing beyond. Will anyone else love me? You know it won't last, like sex, like snow, but we all love a good beginning. You know that song by Foreigner, "Feels Like the First Time"? I don't. No matter how many times I play the rest, I can only remember the chorus. Because that's all we need, the feeling so wet and ephemeral. Let's cut to the scene where the thrall in the concert hall matches the square drumming nails of a young Bermudian working at an airport booth. The year is 2008. The weather is never winter. The musician is Aisha, nearly out and about and making far too much money for a 21-year-old at her day shifts in immigration. We meet for the first time after the pandemic, and our stories intertwine like we've known each other forever. Here I am, in Bermuda, meeting a Black woman who knows what snow is like. knows how the world started.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?